This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my amazing and curious friends. My name is Jennifer, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek inside the real world of scientists, engineers, and experts as they solve problems in their jobs using creativity, cooperation, and critical thinking. And now please welcome to the show my podcast partner, Galactic Space Geek, Jeff Gagne.
Hello, Jennifer, and hello, listeners. And today, we have such an exciting episode because we are not just taking a peek into what scientists and engineers do, we are getting a peek into the future.
Oh, this is so exciting. What problem are we solving today?
How are astronauts going to get back to the moon?
3, 2, 1, fire.
How are astronauts going to get back to the moon? What a great episode for our 100th episode! Yay! Who is our guest today, Jeff?
That's right. I'm with you, Jennifer. 100 episodes of Solve It for Kids and Galactic Space Geek Jeff couldn't be more excited to have Jim Geoffrey, NASA's Orion Vehicle Integration Manager, with us to tell us all about the Orion Space Capsule and the Artemis missions.
This is going to be awesome. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Oh, it's so great to be here. I love what you guys are doing, and it's my pleasure to be here.
We are so excited because you are part of the Artemis program, right?
That's right. Yeah, I work in the Artemis program with the Orion spacecraft.
Can you tell us what is the Orion spacecraft going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Orion spacecraft is the piece of the whole mission that helps bring astronauts back to the moon. So in 1972, we were last on the moon, December of 1972. And now I'm very fortunate to be part of the program that takes Americans and really a whole international crew back to the moon. The Orion spacecraft itself is a key part of that architecture. So the astronauts are going to go to Florida at the Kennedy Space Center.
Right.
They'll climb into the Orion spacecraft that's stacked on top of the Space Launch System, and that will blast them off and send them out to the moon, where they'll get to meet up with a lander vehicle that takes them down. And once they do their science and exploration on the moon, they get back to Orion, which is waiting in orbit around the moon. They transfer back over, and they come back to Earth at a really high velocity, landing off the west coast of the U.S.
Wow. This is so exciting.
This really is very exciting for all of us that grew up, for the grown-ups that are listening, for all of us that grew up and we wanted to see that space program continue, but then it didn't, to know that this program is so close to taking us back and then keeping us there. There are so many things that are coming that are very exciting. So I want to start right away with the actual vehicle itself, the Orion spacecraft. Is it the same size as Apollo? Is it bigger? I have seen pictures. I know it's very much the same shape.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. You know, it looks very similar, but really it's the similarity is only on the surface.
Okay.
It's about 70% roomier inside.
Oh, and, that's nice.
Oh, yeah. I bet you those Apollo astronauts would have loved the extra space to do their job. So yeah, we're also going to carry more people back to the moon.
Oh.
Orion is designed to take 4 people.
Okay.
We'll bring again, it's an international crew. And the reason why it's bigger is, one, the job they have to do is more complex with the exploration they're doing. And they're also going to be in there for a lot longer. Orion is designed for 21 days of being away from Earth. So imagine being locked in your same vehicle for 3 weeks' time.
like my minivan for 3 weeks. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, exactly.
With your three best friends.
Yeah.
That's so, exactly why you want it to be a little bit more roomy and a little bit more comfortable.
So they will be in this from the time they blast off until, you know, they go. And then this is the actual capsule that will go down to the moon. Is that right?
So the capsule itself is going to meet up with a lander.
Okay.
So, in fact, just recently, NASA picked SpaceX to partner with us on the Artemis program and build the landing vehicle that will take people from orbit around the moon down and back again. And it's Orion's job to meet up with that out in orbit around the moon and transfer the astronauts back over.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So before we get too far into the really, really cool stuff about the bigger picture, the way you were just describing that and how the Orion capsule is going to meet up with the lander, et cetera, that led me right back to how I introduced you and your actual job. Can you describe a little bit more? What does it mean to be the Orion Vehicle Integration Manager?
Yeah, you described it very well. It's a kind of a very innocuous sounding title, but basically, my job is to make sure that all the pieces of the vehicle work together. And not only that they work together, but they can perform the mission that we've been given by the American people. So all the different systems that it takes to keep people alive and take them to the moon, your propulsion system to move around the solar system, all the life support equipment that's needed to keep people alive and healthy, all those things need to interact and work together as one cohesive system. And that's what integration is all about. It's making sure all the different pieces work together and can accomplish the goal you're trying to perform. And that's basically my job, is make sure everything works together.
Okay, I like how you say basically. That's just like, oh yeah, just all got to plug it all in and it'll work. How many different systems with Orion are we talking about?
That's all I could think. I'm going to say about 12 different major systems.
Wow. Oh, my.
Well, yeah, and they're all different, right? Like, I'm thinking there's communications, there's electrical, then there's all the life support stuff, right? So you have to know a lot of different types of engineering and science to do your job?
Yeah, you know, I call myself a systems engineer, which there is basically, I need to know just enough about all the different systems to be able to, for them to know how to work together. But ultimately, I rely on expertise in each one of those areas, and I help bring them all together.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to recently be at Space Center Houston for a Space Educators Conference, and I was able to see a mock-up of the Orion capsule in the vehicle mock-up building. I believe it's when the astronauts are going in to either train or just start getting familiar with. And I was taken aback by, because I'm a space geek, and so obviously I love the Apollo missions, and I've seen, you know, all the movies and all the pictures and all the videos inside the Apollo capsule. The Orion capsule inside looks empty in comparison because it has screens instead of all the switches and knobs. Can you talk a little bit about the difference in that?
Boy, I'm really glad you noticed that, because that's one of the key differences from going from the 1960s to modern technology.
Wow. You know,
you're absolutely right. The thing was just filled with switches that, you know, every little
every wall,
turning
all over.
Yeah.
Off and on had its own switch. And that's the miracle of modern computers. You know, our phones can do more than the computers that landed on the moon in the 1960s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so that's one of the great things we've been able to take advantage of is use that technology. And it really allows the astronauts to do a lot more with their vehicle, because, you know, you can reprogram the software to be able to do different things. And if you want to change the information that the crew has seen, it's a lot easier than changing out a switch or changing out a dial. You know, you can reprogram your displays to show them what they need to understand the systems.
So are these like touch screens?
These ones are not touch screens, but they have dials and push buttons all along the outside. So one of the challenges with touch screens is you know, the astronauts have to launch in spacesuits.
Oh, but, yeah. It's like the glove problem with your phone, right?
Yep. Wow, that is a great description. Yes. So, yeah, they have these really thick gloves that they have to operate. That spacesuit keeps them safe in the event of a really right. bad thing happening. But it's hard to control a display when you've got an EVA glove on.
Yeah, I would imagine. Those are pretty thick.
Yes.
The way you were just describing that is something I completely did not think of in terms of you will have the capability to change the spacecraft, basically. Whereas yeah. when the Apollo capsules were made, all of those switches, obviously, that is all in a physical reality. You know, whatever they built and gets launched, that's what it is, the entire mission.
Well, they were wired specifically in, right? So I mean, yes. that would be.
And I never thought about, hey, what if we learn something or if we need to change or adapt? Wow, that is you just took my mind in a whole different direction. And now I want to go see if the library already has a book about the Orion space capsule.
Yeah, it really allows for a lot of flexibility. You described it very well. And, you know, if we have a different mission or we want to go do something differently, it's a lot easier to adapt the Orion spacecraft compared to the way the Apollo was designed. You remember the 1960s, it was designed for a very specific purpose.
Yes.
Yes.
Take a man
well,
to the
very quickly, right? They developed that technology like very quickly.
Yep. And so we're designing for a multi-generational program, have Orion be able to support missions all the way out to taking people to Mars. So it's really important to design with the future in mind.
Exactly. Okay, so you said when it's going to launch from Kennedy, which hopefully they're going to test the SLS soon in the next couple of months. And I live in Jacksonville, so I will be going down there, even if I have to have my little binoculars to see this, because that's like history happening. But it's going to land, the Orion's going to come down on the West Coast. Is it going to go into the water like Apollo did, or how's it going to get down?
Yeah, you got it exactly. So in Apollo, there was a bunch of ships from the U.S. Navy that were right. deployed out to the middle of the ocean to be able to pick up the astronauts from anywhere. Well, with our technology, our modern guidance technology, we're still going to pinpoint a landing off the West Coast near San Diego, but landing on the water is a lot easier on both the vehicle and the crew.
Yes.
And so it's while we do land in the water, just like back then, it's a lot closer to shore and we're able to do it with a lot less support equipment. You know, we don't need a whole Navy to get Orion.
you'll know kind of where to have them waiting, right?
Exactly.
Very cool. Yep. Okay, Mr. Geoffrey, earlier you said that the Orion capsule is being designed to hold astronauts for up to 21 days. Mm-hmm. The Apollo missions took 3 days to get to the moon, 3 days back. Are the Artemis missions being planned for a longer time? Or is this just, like you just said, thinking towards the future for other longer missions?
Yeah, there's a couple good reasons for that. One is NASA's building up what we call the Gateway. This is a
yes.
place, it's in a special orbit around the moon where we can bring a whole bunch of different vehicles together and test out our Mars technologies and prepare for the future. Well, one of the great things about the Gateway is it also allows us to land anywhere on the moon. You may not know this, but in Apollo, they had to land on a very narrow spot around the equator of the moon.
Yes.
And it turns out there's some really interesting places on the moon at their poles, the South Pole in particular.
Wow.
Where there are places in big craters there where they never see the sun ever.
Right.
Okay.
And so being able to go from the Gateway down to the South Pole allows us to do this really amazing science and understand things about ourselves and how the solar system came about, how the Earth formed and the moon that Apollo just wasn't able to do. And so because of that, we're going to a lot more challenging places. It takes longer to get there and come back.
Okay.
So will Orion be able to dock at the gateway? Is that the idea?
That's exactly the idea. So what we're going to build up the gateway there, and it's kind of like a mini outpost. NASA's been operating the space station for over 20 years.
We've
had people on board for over 20 years, which is just
incredible.
Amazing.
It is.
True.
You know, people living off the planet continuously for two decades. That's really fantastic. But this is now going to allow us to extend out into the Earth-Moon system and eventually onto Mars.
Well, and it's, can you talk a little bit about what it's like to get, because kids these days think like, oh, okay, we go up and down to the ISS. Yeah. But getting to the moon is a different kind of adventure, right? It is not the same as going into low Earth orbit. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a lot harder. So basically, you know, it's the way I kind of think about it is like, well, we just had the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
And so a quarterback throws a pass and somebody's running down the field. The quarterback doesn't throw the ball to where the receiver is at the time, has to lead them and let the receiver run under the ball, right?
Yes.
And so that's kind of like what it is going to the moon. It's the moon is the receiver running around, and you have to launch at just the right time in order to arrive at the precise moment at the moon. So it's a lot more complicated, and because of that, you're limited on when you can go.
Okay.
Which is why the gateway would help, is I guess what you're saying, right?
Yep.
Because then you wouldn't have to like be so particular about when you launch necessarily.
Yeah, you can go out to the gateway and wait until all the things are aligned. And then once you're ready, you hop into your lander vehicle and go down to the moon.
Okay, I'm in. Are you in, Jeff? That sounds fun.
Oh, absolutely. However, I think we're going to be way far down the list.
Probably.
So,
yeah,
we're talking a lot about Gateway, and obviously that is going to be our new literal gateway to the moon and then moving beyond. I have seen, and I just wanted to confirm with you, and I'm guessing you're going to be the guy to know, the space shuttle was praised up and down as it should have been for being the workhorse that built the International Space Station because it carried so many pieces up there and all the astronauts that built it. Am I correct in that the Orion capsule is going to be the capsule that is going to take the pieces of the gateway out to lunar orbit to put it together?
Yeah, there's actually a couple different ways we're going to put it together.
Okay.
Some of the very first elements, like the power and propulsion thing, the really the backbone, you know, the thing that runs the
yeah,
the piece we need first.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to get launched on a regular launch vehicle and go out without people.
Okay.
But then the key elements, just like you said, the habitat element,
right,
and
right,
logistics, the resupply, all the food and water you need to keep missions going. Yeah, Orion is going to be sort of the tugboat that takes those elements out to the gateway.
Wow.
And help build it up.
So, but it's not going to carry it inside like the space shuttle did, is it? Or is it?
No, not quite. And so there, you know, if you really know how the Apollo missions were done, it's actually very similar.
Okay.
So on the Apollo missions, the lunar lander was launched inside the rocket. There was a call a fairing, which covered the lander. And then once they got on orbit,
oh yeah, that's right,
the spacecraft came off, it turned around, and it pulled out the lander. Turns out we're going to do almost exactly the same thing with the gateway elements. So SLS will be able to launch these big pieces. And then once the crew is on the way to the moon, they're gonna go separate, they'll turn around, and they'll dock with the gateway element and pull it out. And once they have it, then the crew will go off on their own and take the gateway piece with them out and help build it up. So we're learning from past techniques to do new things.
Yeah, but with all new technology.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, leads me. We're talking lots about launching, getting out there and being the gateway. The news in the press and NASA have all announced we are going to get back to the moon by 2024. Mr. Geffer, you work at NASA, you work on the Orion spacecraft. Do we think it's going to be 2024? Might that slide a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think I believe it's the president and the NASA administrator have said that, you know, there have been some things with approving the new program that have taken longer than expected. And so the 2024 goal is not likely possible at this point, but we are working to get it done as quickly as possible. And I think early 2025 is what we're targeting right now.
As far as I'm concerned, that's still fast. I mean, the amount of technology that you have to create, basically, I mean, let's face it, that stuff doesn't go quickly, right? You're engineers. Yeah. You yeah. test, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, right? And you have to make adjustments. And
yeah, and you know, speaking of tests, you already talked about the upcoming launch, and I hope to see you there, by the way.
I will be there. I'll be way in the back, but I'll be there.
So yeah, this spring, we're really excited to have our first test launch, what we call Artemis 1. Mm-hmm. And in that, we're going to send Orion out on a test flight around the moon for could be anywhere from a month to a month and a half, just to make sure everything's working right, really understand all those systems I talked about, and make sure we're ready to put humans on it for our next crew flight.
I did not realize that Orion was going to go for that long. That's so cool.
Yes.
I'm definitely going.
I'm definitely jealous. I may have to get on a plane. So, Jim, I have to ask. I'm super excited about the Artemis 1. Obviously, you probably heard Jennifer call me Galactic Space Geek Jeff at the start. You know, wanted to be an astronaut when I was a kid. Loved space ever since. I now work at a space museum. Love that. With the Orion test for Artemis 1, what is your job during that test? Like, are you going to be the guy leading all of the, all right, I want you guys to test this and test that, tech both of them together.
Are you not sleeping for a month? Is that what we're asking?
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, yes to that last question. great question. So as soon as we launch and head off to the moon, we have a really outstanding flight control team, mission control. You know, you've certainly seen them in action in movies like Apollo 13.
Sure.
So the mission control is going to be in charge and operating the spacecraft. Well, helping them out is the Orion program. So we're going to bring all the engineering expertise we have in case anything goes wrong. Something really technical term we call the mission evaluation room. It's all the engineering support. And it's my job to organize that and make sure that mission control has everything they need in order to bring Orion back home safely.
You know, I also wanted to be an astronaut. So Sally Ride was one of my heroes because she went up when I was in high school. But I mean, I look at what humans can do with going to space and it just floors me. It's just stunning. I think the amount of engineering and science and the number of amazing people that get to work on programs like this, it's just staggering. So cool.
Yeah. Well, it's quite an honor and a privilege. And I think we all just have this natural exploration in our DNA, you know, whether it's exploring the oceans or, going into space, it's something that we all just have a natural interest in. And I'm very fortunate to have a small part in it.
Okay. Want to ask you two questions about that good fortune of yours. Do you have a favorite part of the Orion spacecraft? And do you have a favorite mission upcoming for the spacecraft?
Oh, favorite part. Well, you know, whoever I don't say is going to be very mad at me. You know, I'm going to have to go with, I'm going to say the guidance system. And I'll tell you why. It's
okay.
You know, I tried that analogy earlier of a quarterback throwing a pass.
Sure.
Well, that's all about the guidance system. They're the ones who know where Orion is, where it needs to go, and how it's going to get there. It's the brains about how we move around the solar system. it's something that really kind of attracted me to NASA in the first place. So there's a lot of really cool. There's a lot of really cool systems that have absolutely critical jobs. They're all really important.
Okay. I like that answer. Now I do want to ask you, I'm going to stick to the second one. Is there a mission that you know will be coming for the Orion capsule that you're really looking forward to?
Artemis 2.
And what happens with Artemis 2?
It's the first time we put people on board and we send them around the moon for the first time since 1972.
Wow.
That is why I came to NASA. The test flights are all about getting to flying humans in space. That's why we're here. And so when we put that Artemis 2 crew in the vehicle, that's going to be real exciting.
Okay. Just have one more follow-up. Artemis 2, one thing I have not learned about that one, when astronauts go around the moon, sort of like Apollo 8, at what height will they go around the moon?
Well, it's actually a flyby. So they're actually going to go a little farther than Apollo ever did.
Okay.
But on Artemis 2, because it's the first time we fly people, we're actually just going to fly by the moon rather than going in orbit.
Okay.
So one of the differences, we talked about the 1960s and Apollo. The first commander of Apollo 8, the first person to fly to the moon, kind of famously said he had a 50-50 chance of coming back alive. That's pretty scary.
That's scary.
They took a lot of risk on that mission. And, for Orion, we're taking a little bit more incremental approach to the mission and the crew safety. And so on that first flight, we're going to fly by the moon. It'll be about a 10-day mission, and then they'll come back to Earth.
Okay.
They're going to get a real great view of the surface of the moon. I can only imagine.
I mean, with the technology and the cameras the way they are now, I mean, wow. Like, you can see the moon very well from Earth through a telescope. I can imagine what they're going to get. So when will the astronauts go down? Is that Artemis 3 is when they will land on the moon?
Yep, you got it. So Artemis 2 flies by the moon, and Artemis 3, they meet up or dock with the lander, and that's the first time they go down.
And planned times for these? Late 2020s, early 2030s?
For Artemis 3, we talked earlier, was right now we're looking in early 2025.
Wow.
And we'll fly humans, the first crew flight the year before that.
That's so exciting.
For
all of our listeners, of course, grown up and kid alike, but especially for our younger listeners, all of the ones that just look up and have that idea of whether or not they want to be the astronaut, there are so many cool jobs that your job is literally to put a spacecraft together that is going to do all of these things. I think we kind of joke about the old school guidance counselors that we all had, and they weren't necessarily the greatest at like saying, hey, Jeff, when you grow up, or Jim, when you grow up, I think you're going to be a great vehicle integration manager. But there is so much more information out there, and NASA puts out so much information and connects with kids and educators so much that learning about what it is that you do, it's not just the astronauts. And I'm rambling at this point, but it leads me all the way back with the Apollo missions. I had heard the number that for every one astronaut that went up, NASA had at least 1,000 people on the ground supporting that person. With moving into Orion and Artemis, is that number still on par? There are that many people working towards those big missions?
No, not nearly as many. We had talked earlier about just the landing in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Yes.
And there was a whole portion of the U.S. Navy, and all the people on the ships were devoted to that.
Right.
And one small part here is that because of the technology of Orion, we don't need all that infrastructure to bring crew back. We can land off the coast of San Diego. So we're able to do this with a lot fewer people, a lot less money. And
that probably makes the government happy, right?
Absolutely.
Well, so I'm curious. So if you were to give kids a challenge or have them maybe just learn something about Artemis or the Orion, what would you have them go look up if they were curious about how to find information and all that kind of stuff?
Well, there's a couple of good challenges maybe. One, if they're really interested from a science standpoint, what are the interesting things we might be able to learn about the moon and ourselves by going back to the moon? Another thing is, from an Orion standpoint, you could ask, well, it's very hard to keep people alive for 21 days in the same ship that they launched in. And so, you know, what kind of technologies do they have to invent in order to keep people alive? And how might they apply those to their everyday lives and be more efficient in the resources they have and, you know, living in their own homes? So a couple ideas there.
Those are great challenges. And now I especially like the second one. Although I have to say the first thing that came into my head was, okay, are we all going to have to eat food out of those little packages?
Yes.
For just a second, as you were describing that second challenge, I really thought you were going to turn the kids into their own systems engineers at their house.
Oh, I like that.
That's a good one. Well, this has been a fabulous conversation.
No, don't let it end, Jennifer.
Yes, it has to end, unfortunately, but we can all meet up in Kennedy Space Center in a couple of months and watch the SLS go up. But thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us today. We've really enjoyed having you on Solve It for Kids.
Well, thank you, Jennifer and Jeff. It's truly been my privilege, and I love what you guys are doing here. And I'm happy to do it. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Man, oh man, what a 100th episode conversation. Jim Geoffrey has an unbelievable job in terms of its coolness. The Orion space capsule, the SLS launch system, working with everything that NASA has to put together as the integration manager, sometimes sounds overwhelming, doesn't it, Jen?
Yeah, it does, but amazing. And like I said, I cannot wait to see this lift off. This is going to be such a huge event for all of Earth, actually. You know, to see this lift off, we're going back to the moon after all these years in a brand new capsule and spaceship. Wow. How cool.
I completely agree. This is super cool. And this is what all of our listeners are going to get to follow for the next 20 to 30 years as the Orion program with the SLS launch system turns into Artemis missions that will be launching soon. So let's all make sure we do Jim's challenge, figuring out what we would want to bring with us, and we will be putting links on our website page for this episode, solveitforkids.com, other NASA activities that go along with the Orion space capsule and the Artemis missions.
Oh, absolutely. And if any of you want to leave us a comment on our webpage, which is solveforkids.com, or tag us on social media and let us know what you thought, or maybe if you want to be a passenger, an astronaut on the Artemis future visits that they make to the moon, or the Gateway, which is also really awesome, by the way, then tag us on our social media, which is @KidSolve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And for our 100th episode of SolveItForKids.com and Solve It for Kids podcast, this is Jen and Jeff blasting off. We'll see you next time for 101 on Solve It for Kids.